listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I got girls in real life trying to fuck up my day. Fuck going online, that ain't part of my day. I got real shit popping with my family too. I got niggas that can't never leave Canada too. I got two mortgages, 30 million in total. I got niggas still trying to fucking, still try fucking me over. I got rap niggas that gotta act like I'm, wait. I got rap niggas that gotta act like I like, but my acting days are over. Fuck them niggas for life, yeah.
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
That's right. And we are live on Crowdcast. Of course, you can use the Crowdcast app to keep up with the latest live shows, okay? Right now, it's 6 p.m. in the motherfucking Eastern time.
Yes, it is.
And the voice that you heard should be pretty familiar if you guys have been listening to this show for a while. If it's been a while, you know, you just started listening to the show. It's my man, Mr. Span from the Span Report podcast and spanreport.com. What's going on, Mr. Span?
Nothing. Just chilling. Excited for tonight, man. It's excited for tonight.
For sure, man. Of course, you can find Mr. Span at Mr_Span on Twitter, where, you know, all the things is always popping, man. And, you know, the podcast is an excellent podcast. We listen all the time, man.
I'm not going to lie, Mr. Span. You're one of the few one-man podcasts that I listen to because most of the time when people are solo, I be like,
Well, I try to keep it entertaining, man. I try not to keep it so deep. Like, sometimes I feel like my show is a little heavy. You know what I'm saying? So I try to, like, you know, lighten it up with the ass hat of the day and shit like that. But I appreciate that, man, because I love y'all show. I listen every day. Y'all get me through all of the damn work day, pretty much.
Well, we try, man. We appreciate it too, man. It's cool to be able to have some people that you go all the way back with, and you know, still.
I know. I thought about that. I said, "Us and Mr. Span go way back."
Right. I still remember the shout outs, dog. On the Haterazzi. Well, shit. At the time, it was it wasn't even a Haterazzi podcast. It was like.
It wasn't the Haterazzi radio show, it was
then changed to Mr. Gates or whatever, but it was like, yo, that goes way back, man. I just remember being like, that's a funny ass dude. That shout out to the people that do, you like, oh shit, who's this?
But you know, like, so much of what I was saying there was so fucking problematic, you know what I'm saying? Like, I go back and listen to a lot of that shit, like, god damn, like, why did I say that shit?
Yeah, everybody is kind of still developing and whatnot, and I mean, it's all a process for people, and it's been interesting as a journey to be like, okay, sometimes you gotta, some people you grow with, some people you grow apart from, but in general, for me, it's always been kind of a journey. And watching different people kind of grow up before your eyes,
they
grow along with you, has been an awesome part of it.
Right, and I know me, I have been a fan of your show since the very beginning. So, you know, I've seen you grow, I've seen you develop, I've seen your views change on a lot of things. And it's just been a journey to watch. I think when people get older, they actually calm down. And people don't want to admit that. You calm down for the good and for the bad, but you calm down.
Oh yeah, like, you know what, I think, you know, of course, like, you know, life situations kind of dictate where you go with some of the ways you think about things, and, you know, I've been kind of on an upward trajectory, man. My life has gotten pretty damn good over the last 5 or 6 years, man. I have no complaints at all, considering where I was when I first started the podcast to where I am now. Oh shit, man, I have no fucking complaints at all. So, yeah, I'm just trying to keep this upward trajectory going. That's really what it's all about.
For sure, man. Staying positive and staying grinding, dog. Mm-hmm. That's like 90% of the whole deal. Now, of course, I know people are here and they're just like, okay, that's cool and everything. I like that y'all are friends.
Yeah, we don't care nothing about this dude called me, especially they ain't never heard it before. This dude called Mr. Span. Who is him? I check him out later. Get on with the show.
Mm-hmm. I don't know this nigga. What the hell is wrong with y'all?
Right, I came here for one thing, and that is for the Walking Dead recap, and these motherfuckers, here they go, talking and shit.
Reminiscing.
Right, which, you know, I understand. So of course this is the Blackout Tips. You can catch us on theblackouttips.com. You can catch us on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. If we like them, we'll read them on our Saturday morning feedback show. The official weapon of the show,
the taser,
and unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme, that's right guys. And of course, you know, I appreciate the people that tune in for The Walking Dead, because I've been asked at least a dozen times in the last week, are y'all gonna recap The Walking Dead? Which, I mean, if we weren't, we probably would have said,
yeah, because we just finished Fear.
Yeah, you know, we probably would have said we're not doing that anymore if we weren't gonna do it. Shout out to the fact that we mentioned it on the show several times.
We made several announcements.
So these must be people that literally do not listen to the show unless it's a Walking Dead recap. So then they just show up out of nowhere like, is y'all got that crack? Like, hey, we would have said if we were done, dog. Like, if you're not attentive enough to keep up with it, don't find us on social media. Why go through the effort? You went through the effort of finding us on social media, but not the effort of listening to the show. Come on, man. What kind of sense did that make, man? I try to keep in mind that it's a positive thing and people just love the reviews that much, but the asshole part of me just wants to be like one dude asked, we went on vacation, like, when's the show? Is the show everything okay? My feed hadn't updated for a week. I said, yeah, we got divorced. not doing the show no more. Come on, guys. Anyway, but you know, before we get to the Walking Dead recap, I would be remiss if I didn't say welcome back, white people.
Mm-hmm. How y'all doing?
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that you really want to skip because you want to hear about The Walking Dead. But your ass can't yet because we got to talk about racism and all the shit that happens to us because we black. So this is your admission cost to get this entertainment. Up first, we're going to rate different stories from around the globe, 0 to 100, intervals of 25. And assign point scores to each one. So let's see how much we're fucked with today. The contestants today, everybody, as always, it is everybody.
Everybody.
Up first, the U.S. Justice Department finds racial bias in San Francisco policing.
No.
They wasted taxpayers' money on this study?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'll be damned.
I can't believe it, dog. It's funny to me too. The U.S. Department of Justice on Wednesday released a report outlining deficiencies it found in the embattled San Francisco Police Department, including apparent racial bias in traffic stop searches and killings. Ooh, the trifecta.
All three.
Leading the league in all three of the stats.
Hat trick.
Yeah. Last week, fucked around, got a triple double. The critical 60-page report comes amid an intense debate in the United States over police violence and a resurgence of the civil rights movement spearheaded by activist groups like Black Lives Matter, fueled by police killings of unarmed African Americans across the country over the past 2 years or so. The report is the first assessment in the Justice Department's so-called collaborative review of the department, which launched in February in response to fatal police shootings in the city that sparked angry demonstrations. The report made 272 recommendations for the department to address issues from institutionalized and implicit racial bias against African Americans and other minority groups to updated use of force and data collection policies. Think about this, dog. The way they were policing the community, there were 272 things they could do better. God damn. Like, are you trying? What are you doing? Like, whatever your job is right now, if I spent a month watching you work, there's no fucking way if I come up with 272 things you can do, need to do
you
better,
you shouldn't have that job.
You need to get fired.
This shit sounds like, you remember on The Wire how they used to say, like, man, I just want to go to a real police department just to see how the fuck they do it. That's what the fuck they need to do in San Francisco, man.
Jesus. The report makes clear the significant challenges that lie ahead for the police department and the city, said Ronald Davis, director of the Justice Department's Office of Community Oriented Police Services, in a statement. The findings echo a report released by a panel of judges in July that found Black and Hispanic people were more likely to be searched without their consent by officers than whites and Asians. The San Francisco Police Department in a statement highlighted areas where the review did not find deficiencies. They said the coffee machine was excellent. Okay, so number one,
them K-cups work just fine.
Some of y'all need to back off, okay? And we like our coffee black. Black coffee matters, okay? Also, the donut machine. Donut machine was excellent. It gave warm donuts and on time. So that's two areas that the report didn't highlight. Anyone want to talk about that? Mm-hmm. Oh, y'all still want to talk about us beating up the black people? Damn. Mm-hmm. All right, well. For instance, the assessment found the department's use of force was proportionate, but the department did say it agreed with several findings of bias. We are committed to the work that needs to be done to bring our systems into the 21st century. The San Francisco Police Department.
We agree fucking up just a little bit.
Well, you know, that's the thing. They don't, it's funny. They didn't really agree with the use of force thing, but they did agree with stuff like, well, we aren't keeping records of how many niggas we beat. So, I mean, yeah, that's true. We could probably take that digital or something. You know? But yeah, so.
Don't you expect us to keep a tally?
They were roiled by months of angry protests at the videotaped killing of a black man last December. In the wake of 26-year-old Mario Woods killing two other fatal police shooters in the city sparked outrage, as did revelations of a second racist text message scandal within the department in as many years. So. Yeah, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, I'm fucked with it because it's fucked up, but 0 for the study because you ain't telling me nothing that I didn't know.
Okay, all right. Mr. Span?
I pretty much, like, this is common knowledge for people who deal with this on a day-to-day anyway. But yeah, like, for the police, it's 100 every day. It's 100 all day long with them, man. Fuck them.
They got 100 to me, too. They got a lifetime achievement award of 100 forever.
Yeah, all the things.
272 things, dog. Like, you can't be a barista at Starbucks if you can do 272 things better. That is a ridiculous. Lil Wayne explains why the white cop who saved his life after he accidentally shot himself at age 12 makes him say he doesn't believe in racism. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wayne does not believe in racism. Okay, guys? It was a white cop that saved his life when he was 12 years old that made the rapper say there was no such thing as racism. Lil Wayne, whose real name is Dwayne Michael Carter Jr., was being interviewed on Fox Sports 1 show Undisputed in September when he said he never dealt with racism. Let me tell you something. This is why Skip Bayless is the greatest. Cause that motherfucker can get a nigga to say some shit about race and without interjecting a single opinion, and that shit'll go viral. And if you listen to what he's saying the whole time, he's going, mm-hmm. "Yep,
I'm trying to learn here, so I just want to listen to you."
I think he know when people be fucking up.
He do.
Like when back when it was him and Stephen A, you know, Stephen A would be like, "Skip, let me tell you right now, okay, first of all, I find this to be egregiously disproportionate, okay? If a woman puts her hands on me, listen, I'm gonna beat the brakes off of her, okay? That's what I tell my sister, that's what I tell my wife, and that's what I tell my mother." And then meanwhile, Skip just over there like, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I'm like, damn, this shit about to go viral. Stephen ain't gonna get suspended, and Skip ain't say a motherfucking word in opposition or for. Like, is right. He not encouraging or against. He just like, I ain't saying nothing controversial. Let me go know when we get back to Tebow so I can start hyping him up.
Right.
And keep my job, idiot.
Anyway. Yeah, like, it's crazy because I'm almost hoping that Shannon Sharp doesn't fall into that trap.
It's gonna happen eventually.
What's that?
It's gonna happen eventually. Shannon too woke, man. Like, he keep talking about race. It's, you know how it is. It's always one part that's just like a little hotel. Like, it's just like, you don't even know. You don't even know you got it. You just keep talking and you keep talking and Skip keep not saying nothing. And then one day Shannon just gonna be on TV talking about like, And that's why I only mess with white women, Skip. Okay? You're like, what the fuck? No, Shannon, no! You know what I mean?
People over there like, gotcha, bitch!
Yeah! Skip, go on. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he says, he cited as evidence the fact that his concerts were attended by a lot of white people. Cause, you know, if white people like music, clearly they can't be racist. Duh. I thought that was clearly a message that there was no such thing as racism, he told Skip Bayless. The New Orleans-born rapper came under fire on social media for his comments, but explained on Tuesday they had to do with the man who saved his life. Carter was just 12 years old when he accidentally shot himself in the chest. He was lying on the floor when the police broke down his door, stepped over his body as they searched for guns and drugs. The cops who ran into the home were blacker than me, Carter said, but the one cop who stopped to check on him was white as snow. Carter said the man, who was known as Uncle Bob, chastised his fellow officers for leaving him. He then personally took Carter to the hospital. He stood there and waited until the doctor said he's gonna make it, Carter said. Yeah, he was a cop and my life was saved by a white man. I don't know what racism is, he added.
So when are we going to see the Uncle Bob movie financed by Cash Money Records?
Oh man, I wish they still had a studio, man. They had some of the greatest worst movies.
Had that movie, man. We gotta have a white savior movie, and what better way to get that out there than to talk about how this white man saved Lil Wayne's life and he eradicated racism.
For real, somebody need to go ahead and fund that movie of cops playing basketball, giving ice cream to kids and all that shit, hugging kids. Like some like I'm nobody's coon or Uncle Tom, but that shit is a $1 billion idea, okay?
Of course.
Like, white people would make that movie the number one movie of the year.
Hotel heads will explode because that shit gonna make all the money.
It be nominated. That shit gonna win Oscars.
Y'all won't see Birth of a Nation, but y'all will see this.
I sure will. Here's my money.
They should name that movie To Protect and Serve.
Yes!
And it should just be nothing but just cops like giving kids meals and shit, like all just nothing but cops helping black people and shit. And people will be like, see, this is why you know, like every Monday after the movie comes out on Monday, every office gonna have the same conversation. Antoine, did you see Protect and Serve this weekend? I thought it was pretty good.
They really want to fuck with people. That'll be hashtag Blue Lives Matter. That'll be the name of the movie.
See, people won't see that, Karen. It's too controversial. All lives matter, blue lives matter. That's too controversial. White people don't want to. It's like supporting Trump. Okay. If Trump just came out and was like, niggers, everybody would be like, no, you can't do that. But if he said the blacks need stop and frisk, then it's like, oh yeah, I agree with that. They'll stop the. So you need to couch it in a way that makes white people feel like I'm positive. Like this is a positive thing. I just want to support a movie where cops hug black kids. That's all.
Yeah, I like to protect and serve.
They need to cast Tom Hanks in that role of the Trump supporter from Saturday Night Live.
Yes. Hold up, dog. You just gave me a brilliant idea, dog. We gotta have. Tom Hanks played the cop that hugged the kids, dog.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Nigga. That's $1 billion movie, dog. That's $1 billion idea. Tom Hanks as the cop that hugs the kids and shit. You know what I mean? And you don't have to have Tom Hanks being like racist or anything. You just have him being offended by every, like the montage for the trailer, just like him in riot gear and he got that single Denzel tear. But it's like, him protecting the Black Lives Matter people.
Hold on. But we need the black villain though, right? So we gotta have the crooked black cop played by Cuba Gooding Jr.
I would like. Well, wait. Cuba Gooding Jr., he gotta be an activist. Because that's the real bad guys to most white people now, is black people that see racism and talk about it. So he gotta be like an activist or, maybe a media person, because white people, you know, the racist white people like them. It's the media's fault.
And you know what? You don't want skin too bad, so it got to be light skin like Jesse Williams.
Yeah. Jesse Williams would not play in our movie, by the way.
Oh, I know.
I can't pitch this to Jesse. He's too woke. He might unfollow me for having this idea, but
And when it say Tom Hanks, you know it gotta be the dude to do all the voices and be like, in a world where police officers love their job and love the community.
Where police officers are hunted. And it show like people with Black Lives Matter shirts loading guns and shit. You know.
Holding signs.
Yeah. Oh, the villains will be the shooters, the people that shot the cops. You know, it's gonna be the bad guys. It's gonna show like Tom Hanks at a funeral, and like every time they show him, he's just gonna be in uniform with the single tear, like saluting the camera and shit. And it's gonna be like,
and it's gotta be raining. It's gotta be raining.
Raining. The backpack music gotta be playing. You know, the 21 gun salute in the background. And then this is like, he had a funeral for an officer that got killed by one of them, people that shot up the police. And then, they show Kaepernick, and Kaepernick is, and they show him like crying, watching Kaepernick kneel and shit, like,
And you know what? He's gonna be the good cop, and it has to be like a bad cop that's going too far, and Tom Hanks gotta stop him, and that bad cop gotta be Marky Mark.
Marky Mark cannot play the bad, no, you can't be just putting leads, like, if it's gonna be a bad cop, then you gotta go back to his fans' idea of it gotta be Cuba Gooding Jr. or somebody. Cause you can't have a white bad cop. It's gotta be.
You sure?
It's gotta be a black bad cop, because white people don't want to see.
You gotta save us from ourselves, Karen.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My bad. My bad.
It's gotta be. He gotta be framing white cops or something.
Okay. My bad. I, you know, I was thinking in the form of whiteness. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, he the good white dude, and you know, since we claim that, you know, all, you know, the good cops don't be called the bad cops. You gotta
there's
have
no such
somebody
thing,
he calls
there's
out.
No such thing as bad white cops, Karen. Okay, I think you need to understand.
Terrence Howard.
Yeah, you could. Oh,
yes, Terrence Howard would be good.
Terrence Howard could be that villain.
Terrence Howard would make an excellent bad cop, dog.
Mm-hmm. He got that face.
That's yeah, cool. Or like. That's or, it, right? He could, like, and he sets up this, the killing to frame another cop, and it's a white cop. It's Tom Hanks. It's Tom Hanks. And yeah. Tom Hanks gotta get himself exonerated, man. But the whole media, the media is against him. Black Lives Matter is against him. Colin Kaepernick is against him. And it's just him being sad the whole time, like, wow, I can't believe this is happening to me. And then, like, it ends with him getting found guilty, and then he, gets, 2 months paid leave, cause that's the penalty.
Another thing too, you gotta have Anthony Hamilton sing a real slow version of Mama New Love on the promos for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in for that.
Mama New Love.
Yeah, I feel like
you know,
Anthony Hamilton will not, he would definitely, he's a Black Lives Matter, he would definitely decline are using his music.
You sure Tom, you know, Tom Hanks is being Tom Hanks, is like coming in, well, I don't think
I mean, look, it would look good, but y'all acting like we're gonna have a problem getting some of these actors. We not getting Jesse Williams. We not getting Anthony Hamilton's music. I'm trying to keep it realistic.
So we need to rein it back in.
We might be able to get Lil Wayne. I mean, who else is All Lives Matter? Pharrell might give us something.
Somebody put up Fantasia.
These new niggas.
Fantasia. Fantasia would give us her music.
Fantasia would be real good.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, we on to something, man. Protect and serve the movie. Anyway, 100. I would read the rest of this, but pretty sure it's 100 for Lil Wayne at this point, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. All right. All right, guys, let's give these motherfuckers what they really want. I tune into the Black Eyed Peas and they're talking about race again. Shit, I might do it again in the middle of the show. Y'all don't know.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's right. We are back. Episode 1 of season 7 of The Walking Dead. It's called The Day Will Come When You Won't Be. All right. I guess I'll start as we always do by getting the overall impressions of the episode. Just a thumbs up, thumbs down. Karen, what'd you think about this episode?
I loved it.
All right. Okay. Didn't sound the most enthusiastic, but okay.
we'll get into it, but yeah.
All right. Mr. Span.
Man, this episode was delicious as some fried catfish, bro.
Oh,
I love it.
And as for me, this might be my favorite episode they've ever done. If not my favorite, it would only be second to the season finale from last season. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I think is his name.
He's perfect.
He delivered in every single fucking measurable way.
He did.
The only thing that he couldn't do was cuss like he does in the book. That's not his fault.
Mm-mm, that's not his fault.
But he destroyed that shit, and he destroyed our crew. So, all right, let's get into the blow-by-blow, guys. The recap that these people have been waiting on. And also the ratings, 17 million. It's only below the season 5 premiere, which was like 17.46 or something. Mm-hmm. So, second most watched episode of all time. Y'all quit?
Somebody lying, because there's a whole lot of motherfuckers said they was gonna stop watching this at the last season.
Unless it's 0.46 of y'all that said that, 17 million motherfuckers lying, because something up. You know, I saw some Walking Dead, like, we gonna quit this show articles and shit. I was like, but y'all been saying that for 2 years. So, what y'all talking about, dog? Anyway, I was back, and I was happy to be back.
Me too.
The show opened with Rick having a 1,000-yard stare on his face. A little bit of blood splatter was on the side of his right cheek. And Negan said, it didn't show Negan, it just showed Rick's face, and you could hear Negan in the background going, "What? Was the joke that bad?" And Rick says, under his breath, kind of, "I'm going to kill you." And Negan was like, "Hold up, what'd you say, playboy?" Because Rick's still on his knees, you know, and Negan kind of bends down, gets in his face, and he said, and Rick now, like, raises his head a bit, looks Negan right in the eyes, and says, "I'm going to kill you." And I'm like, Rick Grimes is the only dude to be sitting on a hand with no spades, talking about he going to run a motherfucking Boston on somebody, dog. Like, you are tapped out, bro. You have no cards to play right here.
He did not give a damn.
Right. But he told Negan, "I'm going to kill you." Negan asked some dude named Simon, who was played by Trevor from Grand Theft Auto. And he said, "What kind of weapon did this guy have?" And he said, "A hatchet." And he was like, "A hatchet?" he said, "Just like that, man." Jeffrey Dean Morgan was cooning so good. And he said,
he was all in, and I loved it.
He said to Rick, he's like, "It's important to have a right hand man. Simon is my right hand man. Did you have a right hand man? Or did I just?" And he waved the bat in his head. And the bat was so bloody. It was so bloody.
Mm-hmm. He was trolling the fuck out of Rick at that moment.
Say that again.
I said he was trolling the fuck out of Rick, man.
Yeah, he was trolling like shit, dog. I don't know why he went in the way he did, but I'm so happy that he did, because Rick's face was just everything in that moment. And he did kill Glenn, who arguably I would say it was or is Rick's right hand man to some extent. You know, Glenn was a dude that went and did everything. So anyway, yeah, I mean, obviously we're gonna spoil that. I'm sorry, guys. Did y'all think it wasn't gonna get spoiled? Anyway, so
yeah, and to an extent, he had become the somewhat heart of the group once. Whatchamacallit died. Old man died.
Mm-hmm.
He became like kind of the heart of the group.
Yeah, he would put his life on the line for the group. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was his thing.
He was the conscience of that group. Like, he was the one that tried to bring some normalcy or like some morals to what it was that they were doing. Even though he knew they were all in like fucked up positions and everything, he was basically trying to be the conscience of the group. Like, you don't have to. And that's what he, you know, he went out like, you know, just trying not to be a monster pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, he, brought Enid back and like convinced her to stay with the group and, try to live for everybody else. I mean, that's the kind of dude he was. He didn't really kill people until late last season, which I mean, he's been in it since like episode one. This motherfucker ain't caught a body till season six, like the last two or three episodes. Like this is a dude that was supposed to be like the uncorruptible spirit of the crew, you know, and Rick's right hand man, in my opinion. At any rate, Negan's like, yeah, maybe I just killed him, I don't know, dog. Anyway, let me get that axe up off of you. And it shows Negan then drags Rick to the RV that the crew was driving in, and I mean literally dragged him, and which is just some, it was like amazing to watch, because Andrew Lincoln, the guy who plays Rick, was just like fucking sprawling out over the gravel and shit, you know, like he really sold like I'm getting drugged like a little kid. Like he had his play clothes on, I mean his church clothes on, his mama came on early,
right? She was like, you ain't got no business out here for this clothes, come in here and change them goddamn clothes,
right?
He still got the same boots on he been running in for two seasons.
Like he got drugged by Negan the way that like Black Twitter drug Amy Schumer for that Lemonade Aww. video. Yeah, it was that bad. So anyway, as he drug Rick off into the SUV, the RV, it panned down and you could see somebody had got a brainiectomy. Mm-hmm. It was on the ground, just brains everywhere.
Everywhere.
So inside the RV, he takes Rick's hatchet and slams it into the table. And actually turns his back on Rick, the table, and the hatchet, and goes to start the truck, start the RV, I mean. And he basically starts goading Rick, like, hey, man, this might be your only chance to grab that hatchet, plunge it into the back of my motherfucking head, because, you know, your ass about to die. You know, like I run this shit now. And, you know, he's like, let's go for a ride. Wow, what a piece of shit, because the car wouldn't start. And he said, he mocks Rick, because Rick just goes, I'm gonna kill you. And he's like, I'm gonna kill you. He's like, are you he's like, are you kidding me? Did you see what just happened, what I just did? Your best chance is to stand up, grab that axe, and drive it through the back of my head. See how you do. Keep acting tough, go ahead. And Rick did try that shit, and he pulled a fucking machine gun out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Where was it at? Was it strapped up beneath the steering wheel?
The nigga knew, like a machine gun magic trick or something. It's like a video game. It should just, he was like, ha ha, what, go ahead. He was like, oh, nah, I don't want none. Then he punched.
Was Rick, like, after your mama then got finished whooping your ass, you threatened to run away. You know what right. I'm saying? Be like, I'm leaving. Oh, you want to leave? Take your ass on then. All right. Hey. See how far you get out there. See how far you get.
And you know what she also said? Take everything that you bought.
Right, yeah. You ain't buy them clothes. You ain't buy them shoes.
Oh, that's my shit. Okay, right. So you leave that shit here.
You don't even about to walk out the house naked. Negan then, like, knocks Rick to the ground and slams the axe back down into the table. And meanwhile, Rick is having flashbacks as Negan is driving through fog, because Negan's like, oh, darn broke. It looks like a brand new day, you know? And he's like, driving through this, what looks to be fog. And it's a beautiful special effect, because the way they showed it, you can see anything outside the window, really. Mm-mm. And Negan's just driving, and Rick's like on the ground in the RV. You know, all fucked up and shit, just emasculated. And Negan's driving into zombies and their heads are splattering on the windshield.
Yes!
And he's like, remind you of anybody you know?
Like, oh, he just fucking with them.
Oh my God, yo. Oh my God.
His bars, Negan bars was off the chain.
Off the chain. So then, go ahead, Ms. Spence, I'm sorry.
Oh no, man! I was laughing, man. Okay. Shit, Negan was just, like, trolling the fuck out of Rick, and it was funny as shit to me.
So then he stops the RV after, you know, they drive a bit, and he tells Rick that Rick and his people belong to him now. He opens the door, and he kills a walker with Rick's axe, hatchet, you know, and then he throws a hatchet on top of the RV. I didn't catch it the first time I mm-hmm. saw the scene. I was like, okay. And he tells Rick, like, go get my axe.
I thought he threw it out there in the open.
Me too. I thought maybe he like hit it in the zombie's head and left it there or something. I didn't know. I didn't catch it. But upon watching it again, he clearly throws it on top of the RV. And he's like, go get my ex. You know, which Rick doesn't do anything at first. And he's like, go get my ex. And Rick finally stands up to go. And he pushes Rick's ass outside with no weapon. And slams the door closed behind him. And we now see that not only is it like a zombie or two out there, it's a herd of zombies. Mm-hmm. And not only is it a herd of zombies, you know, we actually see the hatchet must be on top of the roof, you know. So he has no access to a weapon. He just pushes zombies off of him, and he's having flashbacks in his mind the whole time of everybody in the crew that was there with them captured by Negan's men, the Saviors. And it's just showing like, this is the time he made love to Michonne. This is Sasha smiling talking to Abe. This is Glenn. This is Glenn with Maggie. Like, just a bunch of shit like that. And it's all in black and white. So finally he struggles to get to the roof. And he does. And once he gets to the top of the roof, it pans out and you can see that it's not fog, it's smoke. And it's the smoke from the log fire that was set to block their path to get to Hilltop. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you see that the guy that they hung from the bridge in last year in like episode whatever, that dude is now a walker. Like, he's still hung by a noose, but he's a walker now. And so that crowd of walkers that he was killing must have been, you know, like some people needing, just more zombies needing them rounded up to specifically to block their path.
That's true. And that's the same dude that was hanging, was the same one that Rick told Carl not to shoot him down.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you know they had hung him, and right. He was like, nope, we need the bullets.
Yep. So anyway, dude was just, you know, hanging out. That zombie was just mm-hmm. hanging out. And so Rick was on top of the RV, and it's like once he got there, he just laid on top of it. Like the hatchet was there. Like he wasn't hustling at all. Now I was a little bit like, dude, get the fucking hatchet and get back in the RV. Clearly this motherfucker's not playing no games, bro. Like, what are you doing? But Rick was like, I need a breath. I need a minute.
I need to get my mind right.
You know, I got my people's just dying in my face and shit. I need a second, to get my mind right.
Rick was acting like he didn't want to do them chores. Like, get your ass in there and wash some dishes, boy. And right. He didn't want to do it. He been acting slow about it. And just like, all right, I'm gonna whoop your ass if you don't get out there and do it. Like, all right, man, fuck it then. Fuck
and,
it.
And Negan yeah. says, Negan says from inside the RV with Rick laying on the roof, he goes, you probably thought that you guys were going to get old together eating Sunday dinners. But that's not how it goes in the Z-Pac. And we go to commercial, and at that time, we still don't really know who died. And that's mm-hmm. about 10, 20 minutes in. Mm-hmm. So when we come back from commercial, we get a flashback, and it's the flashback of Negan playing eeny meeny miny moe with the crew to pick who gets bashed. And at the end of eeny meeny miny moe, he actually picks Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Which was lovely, you know. I'm not gonna lie, not a huge Abraham fan, you know. He can go. I think he's an entertaining character at the same time, but you know, he's kind of run his course, you know. And in the comic, he was dead by that time. I believe he got shot in the back of the head randomly at some point, or even
later on.
Yeah, or whenever he died, it was kind of like inconsequential when in the comic. But when he died in this motherfucker, oh, it meant a lot.
Salty. I was a little salty.
Okay,
only because I didn't know he was gonna get two. So like I didn't have any like attachment to Abraham as a character. You know what I mean? I'm like, he was cool and everything, but I didn't have any attachment to him as a character. But I was just like, that ain't what I wanted. You know what I'm saying? I sat there like, this is some bullshit. This ain't what I wanted, man. If this is the way that they going out with it, I'm a little salty about this. I think they, if they made us wait 6 months to lose Abraham, I'd have been upset, man. I'd have been upset. I am not going to lie.
I'm going to play the scene for everybody so you guys can, I can actually show them the video now. Well, ain't that some shit? Shout out to technology and shout out to Crowdcast. Let me bring it up.
Screen share.
Yeah, I'm screen sharing right now. Karen, you let me know when it pops up in the chat, and then I'll play it. It was a pretty somber moment, man. All right, let me make this a little bit bigger. Still nothing?
Mm-mm.
All right. Hold on, let me... Sometimes when I go back, it'll pop up. Computer just moving slow.
Came and then left. Like, it was dead and it went away.
All right, I see it. Keep looking. Everybody else see it?
Mm-mm.
I'm watching it.
Do I need to refresh again? Because I just see me and you in Spain.
I don't see it either.
Anybody said anything to the boy's other eye, feed it to his father, and then we'll start.
All right, so I guess nobody else can see this but me. So.
I mean, because it started and then it went away. Like, it came on the screen and then it went disappeared.
Well, now nobody gets to see it, Karen, and it's all your fault.
Bring it all back. Right.
I'm just joking.
Oh, okay.
At any rate, let me see it, but it goes through the same thing. It's the, you can scream, you can breathe, it's you know, I'm about to kill this nigga. Let me see if I can get it back. Okay, try this one more time, Crowdcast, one more time. Still nothing.
Not yet. I know sometimes it's a little delay.
All right. We'll just wait a couple hours and see what pops up.
Now it's up. It's up now.
All right, cool. All right, let me try to play it. The sound's a little low, so.
You can breathe. You can blink. You can cry. Hell, you're all going to be doing that.
And I feel like that was that you can scream, you can cry, you can breathe. Hell, they're all going to be doing that. That was the writers directly talking to the fans. Because the fans for The Walking Dead be acting super emo about every little thing. So it's like, oh, y'all going to be crying. Y'all going to be sad.
I wasn't.
Y'all, and this is what y'all wanted the season to end on? Y'all must be out y'all mind. So yeah, then it fades back to Rick, who's basically all fucked up, and on the top of the roof of the RV just having this flashback. But yeah, Abraham went out like a G though. He said, suck my nuts.
That was hilarious. Suck my nuts.
Like, half his head was dented in. That was all he could muster, was that last, just suck my nuts. Then it was like, blue doom.
Like, he was at batting practice.
He took that L, dog.
Like a champ.
Mm-hmm.
Say that again, Mrs. Fan.
No, I was just repeating Negan, man. He's like, oh, look at that.
Yeah. Taking it like a champ.
He's so impressed with his fucking self, man.
Oh, so good, man. He really went to town on him for a while. I cut out about 45 seconds of him beating the holy hell out of Abe's head. And they, like, cut back at one point. There's no, like, head left, but it hadn't popped completely with the skull. So he was still beating it. Although I did feel like Rosita was probably low key smiling, like when your ex gets fat and puts a picture on Facebook, you know.
Aww.
Like, low key, she had a little bit, she was like, good, cheating ass nigga. So then he actually splashed Rick's face with the blood. So the blood that we see to open the episode that was on Rick's face came from when Negan like swung the bat just to get the blood off of it. He's like, look at my dirty girl. Cause he's talking about his bat, which I believe his name Lucille.
Yep, and Lucille.
He said, he put the bat in Rosita's face and said, sweetheart, put your eyes on this. And Rosita wouldn't look at the bat, and he said, take a damn look. He was like, you know, red there, and believe his name will forever and always be red. he said, red just took one. Hell, he took 6 or 7 for the team. So when I say take a look, you take a damn look. And Daryl couldn't take the taunting, so he jumped up and punched Negan in the face. And I was like, ooh, get Daryl too.
Yeah, I thought that should have took Daryl.
Because I've been rooting for multiple deaths the whole time, you know. Shit, y'all know how I've been rooting for Maggie, because that's a 2-for-1. Mm-hmm. You know, if we being honest. So finally, I'm hearing an echo, Span.
You hear the echo
from
me?
Yeah. Oh, and it's getting a little choppy. Hold on. Let me refresh. Hold on a second.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Audio getting a little choppy and Crowdcast sometimes happens. But yeah, as soon as we get refreshed and reloaded, we will get everything back up and running. A little sip of this alcohol. That is some good alcohol right there.
Would you like some more? You
good? I'm still drinking it. I'm not done yet. I see y'all. Okay, there. I'm back on screen.
Okay, now I can hear stuff.
All right. Where was I at? Okay, so yeah. Glenn gets killed, and we're like, not Glenn. Abraham gets killed. Mm-hmm. Daryl punches, hold on, I'm still hearing the echo, Span. Did you change any settings on your side or something?
I didn't change anything, man. Let's see.
All right, hold on, I'm gonna take you off screen and add you back. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, might just need to refresh.
Yeah. Maybe we need him to refresh?
Yeah.
That's probably what it was. We needed him to refresh. I'm a dumbass.
You good.
Let me add him back.
Mm-hmm. If he don't go away from this, he just needs to refresh.
Yeah, he probably just needed to refresh. That was on me. I should have just told him that. Let me see. Cool. Expand. Invite back.
You're bringing him back. Actually, might be refreshing.
We'll see. Because now you got to accept and add him to the screen in a few seconds. But yeah, man, that death was so brutal, man. And he and Jeffrey Dean Morgan was enjoying it so much with the
made it lovely. Like that character, I'm not even gonna lie, y'all, him playing the character, in my opinion, is actually better than the comics.
Oh yeah, it's much better.
Like all jokes aside, like him playing that, he played that character so well.
And he like held the bat almost like it was his dick at one point. After he finished beating up Abe, he was like, whoa!
Like he hit a home run.
And he did say it was gonna be PP Pan City, in a bit. And, it was definitely PP Pan City all through the building, on that one. So, I say he's accepted and connecting. It's just moving slow, I see.
No problem.
So yeah, he, fucks up Abe. And, you know, you can see, obviously, you know, my first thought is of Sasha, because I'm like, she ain't got no man now.
That's why she losing all her men, don't she?
Listen, Sasha can't keep no man, y'all.
Mm-mm.
Every time she get a man, Bob, you know.
Yeah,
Abe,
Bob was in love, too.
Every time she get a man, something crazy got to happen to this nigga. You know, between her and Maggie, you know, they both be messing up. You got to pick better choices, you know. And I guess Rosita kind of lost a half a man. I mean, he was gone, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Daryl jumps up, punches Negan. I forget the dude with his face half burned. Mm-hmm. What his name was. Dwight. Yeah, so Dwight has Daryl's crossbow still, and a couple guys hold Daryl down, and he's like, "You want me to kill him?" And Negan's like, "Nah, it's too easy. Not like that." He was like, "I told y'all you get one free one." Because I believe they had already punched Negan or something before when he first showed up, or whatever the free one was, you know. It was like, but after that, I will shut that shit down, no exceptions. So back to it, and he starts beating in on Glenn.
Out the blue.
Yes. He hit Glenn so hard, his left eye popped almost out of socket.
Right.
He looked like what was that thing that was like Baby Ruth for the Goonies? He like that motherfucker. That's how his eye was looking. I don't know what's up with Span's connection, guys. I do not like I invited him. Mm-mm. But I don't see him.
Did he accept it?
Yeah, it says accepted and connecting. It might need to refresh. Span, if you can see this, refresh. Yeah. Let me tell him that. Refresh. Yeah, that might make sense of the audio issues we were having. Mm-hmm. On his side, maybe the connection got bad. But yeah, he'll be back in a second, but we'll keep getting to it. So yeah, he socked it to Glenn. Glenn raises his head up with like half his face.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, he's back. There he goes. All right.
There we go.
So Glenn then raises his head up and his eyes like popped out of socket, and he tells Maggie, he's like, "I will find you." Which I'm like, how? You only got one eye. You're not gonna be able to see her.
Oh.
Yeah. Sad, Karen. What'd you say, Span?
Talking about Glenn right now?
Oh, we talking about Glenn.
Oh, that shit was
That's
delicious.
Not how it works.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Here's the audio for it.
First one's free. Then what I say? I said I will shut that shit down. No exceptions. Now, I don't know what kind of lying assholes you've been dealing with, but I'm a man of my word. First impressions are important. I need you to know me. So, back to it.
Back to it.
Buddy, you still there?
Buddy, you still there?
He even turned to the people at one point and was like, "Oh, look at his eye. It's gross as shit. It's all knocked out, boy." Oh my god. He was like, "I'm so sorry y'all gotta go through this." He kept fucking Glenn up, man. So for anybody that's been waiting for Glenn to die, this was our moment in the sun.
Oh my god, I waited for this for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I waited for this for so long. After that bullshit at the dumpster, and like, I'm like, yo man, like everybody was like, "Nah man, we love Glenn. Glenn wasn't supposed to die," and all this other shit. Everybody was so attached going, "Nah, that was some bullshit right there, son. Like, I don't give a fuck what y'all saying. That was some bullshit." So, for them to do it in such a way, in such a dramatic way, when nobody was expecting it because we only thought we was going to get one, for them to do it the way that they did it,
yes,
oh man, I loved it. This show was turning me into a fucking monster because I was sitting on my couch like, oh my god, yes,
perfect,
yes,
it was really perfect, dog. Like, I have been waiting for Glenn to die for so long. He don't kill nobody, and I was mad at him from like season 5. Well, him and fucking Maggie kept risking the whole team trying to find each other.
That's true. And I guess, for me, I was not emotional at all. Because for me and Roger talked about this, the characters that if you really wanted to show me you was bad about it, you should have killed one of the main characters. But mm-hmm. you didn't do that.
Glenn's not a main character to you.
Glenn is a main character, but I think they've been fucking with us with Glenn's death for so long. I would have rather Glenn lived a little longer and died at another period of time. Mm-hmm. I would have rather it been another main character. Because Glenn is a main character. But my thing, I wish they would have did it to put a middle finger up at the comic book readers that think they know every fucking thing, like they do Game of Thrones. Like, I'm tired of the people. I read the books too, but I'm tired of the motherfuckers that read the book and just know, think that they know everything. So I would have liked that they would have did it just to fuck with the readers.
I'll say this. This was the only way to kill Glenn that make me care. Because I already know what happens in the book. Anything that happens directly from the book, I normally don't care about on the show much. But to use this subterfuge, especially killing Abe first.
Yeah.
Well, you like, oh, they killed Abe. So I guess that's it. Like, they don't have to, like, that's the one who died. And the whole time I was hoping, like, I hope they kill somebody else.
Right.
But I just wasn't sure we would get that, you know? But I said, after everything they went through, if you kill Glenn now, I'll actually give a fuck. As opposed to
Okay. Before,
I would have been like, yeah, so they just did the scene basically line for line from the fucking comic book. Right. Like, what's the point of that? Like, you know, but to throw that, oh, it was such a great alley-oop, just such a troll. It was just such a, like,
I ain't gonna lie, I didn't see it coming.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's the essence of the show to me.
Right.
I watched The Walking Dead because I don't know what's gonna happen.
True.
Like, you only know the general set pieces of, like, they'll be in Alexandria, they'll be at the prison. But in general, you don't know what the fuck's gonna happen. And the second that it gets to the point where I do know what's gonna happen, I probably wouldn't watch it anymore.
Me either.
And but the way that they did it with Glenn, where he was the impossible Asian man, according to all the people that kept writing in, it was kind of like, yeah, I hope he do die. Like, now, like, before this, I was kind of like, you know, I don't like the risk he's taking for Maggie. I don't like some of the stupid shit he does for the team. But then when we got to this point where this motherfucker was, like, not killing the dude that tried to kill him and shit.
That's true now.
I hated him. I was like, he gotta go. You're like, I don't understand. And people's hypocrisy as fans around the shit was killing me, because it was like, y'all hate Morgan because he's nonviolent, but Glenn don't kill people.
No, he don't.
Like, he didn't kill nobody till the end of season 6, but y'all ain't like Morgan from the day he showed up. Fuck y'all. So anyway, I was so happy. I felt like Negan.
And the thing about Glenn's death was brutal. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if y'all been seeing, which I think is crazy. I think some people watch this episode of The Walking Dead because so many people talk about it, but they don't watch the show. Mm-hmm. Because I seen, like, quote-unquote think pieces come out.
Oh, my God, this beautiful.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was thinking about Glenn's death. Go ahead.
Talking about the violence. It's like, motherfucker, do you watch the show?
Yeah, I saw a few people saying shit about, like, this episode was too brutal. They think they Game of Thrones with the Red Wedding and shit. And I was like, just don't watch the show.
Right.
Americans, we so pampered, man. These are our problems, for real. A paid cable TV show was too violent for you. A show you ain't got to watch.
They kind of talked about it on the Talking Dead when they were asking whether or not they could say fuck on the Talking Dead. They were like, wait a minute. We just got finished watching somebody get their head bashed in with a bat, and we're worried about whether or not we can say fuck on TV.
Right.
Like, come on, man. Like, we all grown here. Fuck that.
Right. Hey, and refresh real quick, Span. You're breaking up a little bit. But we heard you, but it's just breaking up. But yes, exactly. Now, speaking of which, Karen, what's funny is that you bring up you wish somebody else had died. They had a scene leak online that there was an alternate death scene they filmed.
Okay.
And it was Maggie.
Now that would have been good.
Oh my God. We were so close, y'all.
That
we were so close to my dream. Like, I just don't think, cause I just was like, no show has the balls to just kill a pregnant white woman on TV. Like,
that'd have been perfect.
The last show that killed a pregnant white woman on TV was Empire. Okay. Like, I don't, like, that is not some shit we see every day, man. So if they would have killed Maggie, cause that was the alternate death that they filmed but didn't go through with. Oh my god. But you know what? Walking Dead fans, and I blame the fans for this, the TV show fans, they are such fucking babies.
They cry about everything.
We're watching a show where the only thing you can do is die, really.
That's it.
Everyone's gonna die. We even know that if you die of natural causes, you turn to a zombie.
Right.
So the only thing people can do is die. And it is a violent, brutal show that comes on at fucking like 9 p.m. on pay cable on a Sunday.
Right.
And then these motherfuckers have this contest every week about who was the most traumatized by a goddamn TV show that they elected to watch. And some of the backlash has been so brutal towards the producers and directors and shit that it's almost like they make every decision with this idea of like this audience you have to coddle sometimes. You know, even The Talking Dead, which came on after this, it was whack to see like Hardwick have to act like he was gonna be a grief counselor for a fucking TV show. These people are still alive. They are people and actors that go on to be in other projects.
Y'all bought them on stage.
They acted like these motherfuckers died for real. Like, I mean, it's one thing to say like congrats on making a show that connects with people like that, but also, god, y'all are some babies. We could have got Pregnant White Lady Death and y'all blew it. Cause I knew it would have been 1,000 fucking think pieces.
When he said that, like last night, when, you know, they do the little cutaway where they talk about what they're going to have for The Talking Dead, he's like, you know what, we're going to work through this. I'm like, man, what the fuck? Like, it's a TV show. This is why we come for this shit. We come to see this. We wanted these resolutions. The whole reason why the show has this large audience tonight is because we want to figure out who the hell died.
Right.
We got that resolution. And people are still just like, oh my god, they went too far. Oh my god, I don't know if I could watch this again. Oh my god, I don't know if I can go to work tomorrow. I'm so fucked up. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. Oh my god, I wish they would have done it, dog. Just for
that'd have been good.
Cause I'd be here for the chaos on the timeline, dog. I don't give a fuck what these people think. I would have. The hemming and hawing and woe is me and the whole, I'm gonna quit the show. Oh, so good.
And you know, it would have been good if they killed Glenn and then was like, oh, was he with you? Oh, you can join him. And whacked up too.
Oh, God.
That'd have been perfect.
If they would have killed Maggie, I would have wanted Glenn alive to suffer. Cause I'm that kind of evil. This show makes you evil. You can't reward me for being evil and then want me to be a good person, dog. Like, I'm fully on board with I'm gonna be evil train. I wanted them both to die, but I wanted Maggie to die, her and the baby, but whatever. Hell, they could even had a cool scenario of her dying and then they gotta get the hilltop to get the baby out of her. Well, I guess we'll never know, guys, because
your dream ain't coming true.
Yeah, but go ahead, Span.
Who got Judith? Where did they leave Judith?
Is she getting watched by Enid and Carl? Oh, wait, by Enid. Mm-hmm.
Back at Alexandria,
yeah. But, my man Negan basically channeled the spirit of the black cop from Boys in the Hood. The whole... Like, oh, you think you tough? That's basically what he was doing to the crew the whole time. Cause Daryl hit him. Glenn, he just didn't like the way Rick was eyeballing him. And he went and did all this extra shit. It could have been so easy if they would have accepted their fate. Like, look, we got our ass handed to us, guys. One of us gotta die. And then we can just shut the fuck up and move on. Everybody else that got killed or tortured or whatever, it's all because these motherfuckers wouldn't take the L. You had a 3-1 lead in the finals, and this is what y'all do?
Got too cocky, man. I mean, think about it, man. They had been murking motherfuckers. Everywhere they went, they was out there taking care of business. They thought they could not be beaten. They were the 2015, 2016 Warriors?
Yes.
It was out murking niggas.
73-9 in the regular season, man. But in the playoffs, LeBron is Negan, dog. Negan went total LeBron on these niggas, triple double with the baseball bat. It was ridiculous.
He was like, oh, you you calling me a bitch ass and want to kick people in the balls?
Yeah, I got, now I do have more to go on to, and I don't want to beat a dead Glenn, so let's move on. So we cut back to Rick on the roof of the RV, and he tells, Negan tells him to go get his axe. And Rick is just laying there looking at the sun, thinking about how his life is all fucked up.
Right.
Hold on, I'm getting that echo again, Spam. Hit that refresh. Hey, I'm sorry, man. I don't know where it's coming from. It's just
like a feed, like something causing the feedback.
Yeah. Sorry, bro. But he'll be back in a second. So yeah, meanwhile, while Rick's on the roof is and reliving this horror, it's like Negan's in his head because he's like, people die, Rick. It's what happens. Doesn't mean the rest of them have to. Get me my axe. Get me my axe. And Negan shot up the roof while Rick was on it.
Right, Rick had to run off the roof. I was like, this motherfucker's shooting the ceiling.
He shot the RV roof. And so then I guess Rick got some hustle in him after getting shot at on the roof. And he fucking like throws the hatchet off the top of the roof and jumps up and grabs the hanging walker. But obviously the noose couldn't hold the weight of a human being and a walker, which is still trying to bite Rick's face.
Right. He's still alive.
Right. And
he was like, I still want a piece of you.
Other walkers are gathering under Rick's feet, like trying to bite his feet and shit. And it's looking like Rick is about to fall because the walker's neck starts, it wasn't the coolest special effects ever.
Wasn't it though?
Like his neck started getting longer and longer as stretching. The body started to detach from the head. Mm-hmm. And Negan pulls out a rifle, opens up the window and shoots through, everybody's motherfucking, like shoots through all the zombies' heads, which let me know that he's a marksman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cause he hit like 6 headshots, you know what I mean? So he shoots up, all the walkers and basically saves Rick's life. Rick falls down, still surrounded by some walkers, scrambles on his, like he's just like falling down. It's like a white woman in a horror movie.
It was cool was that when he fell down, he rolled over and it was like a walker with just like the front of his face just gnawing, which was a cool special effect too.
That was the walkers whose head popped off from the
it
noose.
Was just the face, y'all.
It was just the head like trying to bite Rick.
Right.
So he gets the axe and then he starts like chopping up walkers and shit, and he gets surrounded again right by the door of the RV, and Negan opens the door, shoots up several walkers. Rick gets inside, and then
because at first the door was locked.
Yeah, exactly. Like Negan's such a fucking dick. So Negan opens up the door, shoots some walkers, and lets Rick in. And he had told Rick, like, imagine what can still happen. So Rick was now imagining the bat hitting people that were still alive. Mm-hmm. You know, Michonne, Sasha, Eugene, mm-hmm. all this
the
shit.
The whole group.
And so Rick gets back in and he says, now hand me my axe. And Rick hands him the hatchet and then sits there and, he's just like fucked up because he was just out there with all them zombies. But I did notice he still had hate in his eyes when he looked at Negan.
Yeah, defiance. Yeah.
Like, it was still like, you motherfucker, I'm gonna make you pay for this shit. I'll do what you say to keep my people alive, but fuck you. So, they drive back to the area where Negan has everybody hostage. Rick, Negan calls Rick Prick, which I like. I hope he keeps that up. And he cleans off the axe with, some alcohol and a clamp towel he found. He basically told Rick, like, you're not in charge anymore. He was like, you were in charge. Hell, you're probably addicted to it. And just like that, clip, clip, it's over. You know, and I do think Rick was addicted to being in charge. I think a lot of last season was about Rick being addicted to being in charge. The fact that the Alexandrians were woefully prepared for the Z-Pac outside their walls, but at the same time, Rick went in there and was like, you know, Mike Singletary coaching. Like, it wasn't.
He was terrible. He came in, was like, I'm taking everything and not being nice, not being friendly. We know y'all don't. And he was just horrible.
Like, that was kind of the whole thing from last night, last season was.
Being over aggressive with Jesse and all that shit. And a lot of people was like, it's not, nope, that was all him.
Yeah, the whole thing for last season to me was Rick learning to, you know, come in from the wild. You know, they had been out there, they had been through it. And Rick came through Alexandra like, bitch, I'm in charge. You know what I mean? So.
Pretty much like, if they don't fall in line with what you want, then I'll take this shit.
Yeah, talk directly into your mic. It was breaking up a little bit.
How about now?
Yeah.
Okay, no, he was basically like, yo, I'll take this shit. At the end of the day, they're not ready for what's going on out here. And we like where we at. We'll take this if need be.
Yep.
Right.
And, you know, Negan straight up told him, like, man, you been king shit for a while. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, like you like.
He was strumming Rick's life with his fingers, dog. Like, we hit that, hell, you were probably addicted to it. It's like, now I know I just emasculated you in front of everybody. Your boy, I mean, that's some screwed up shit. But he was basically like, you get out this RV, you know, I'm in charge. Like, that's all it is to it.
And I think a lot of people kind of was angry at Morgan, but part of Morgan's thing was like, you still, even though Morgan still is crazy, part of his thing was having some form of humanity. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, Rick, you completely have lost that.
Mm. Yeah, and so he basically gave Rick the hatchet back and told him, you're going to need it.
I got a feeling.
Then he kicked Rick out of the RV, mm-hmm. And Rick was still kind of crawling around over to his crew. And he was on his knees and shit. And he was like, Rick, basically, do you know what this trip was about? Rick didn't answer, and he said, answer me when I ask you a question, speak when you're spoken to, you know what the trip was about. And Rick just goes, okay, because he's obviously just trying to show, like, hey, I'm not a threat, I, you know, whatever you say, basically. Mm-hmm. But he was like, nah, this is basically about humbling your ass so you realize that, like, it's about the way you look at me.
Yeah, because he could tell that look was, I will get you.
Yeah, you're not broken. He's like, I don't like the way you look at me. And he was like, you still got that look in your eye. Now, should I give you another chance? And Rick said, yes. And Negan says, okay. Put guns to the back of everybody's head. Put it nose level so it make a big ass explosion if you shoot in their face. I know. Because he is still crazy.
Yeah, he was.
Carl, he's like, you know, what's your son? Carl, come over to me. And you know, Carl comes over. He asks Carl, are you a southpaw? And Carl's like, oh, am I what? And he was like, are you left-handed? He was like, no. He was like, good. And he takes a belt and he puts it on Carl's left arm really tight, and he says, does that hurt? And Carl said, no. And he was like, it should. Well, so then he asked his right hand man Simon for a marker, and he lays Carl on the ground and extends his left arm, and he's like, this is gonna be coated in something like a warlock's nut sack. I'm just gonna drag it across your arm. And so he put the marker on Carl's arm and marked it, and he told Rick it was gonna give him leverage. And Rick realizes what wants him to do and says, please don't. Mm-hmm. Which is Rick's real first moment of like complete like capitulation. Like, hey, I get it now. You don't fuck around. I'm sorry.
Right. You can do anything you want to me, but don't mess with my child.
Right. And Negan said, cut off Carl's arm. Take that hatchet, cut it off. And he said, now you might need a moment to process this. And that makes sense. You know, I just told you to cut your son's arm off. He's like, but keep in mind that if you don't do this, I'm gonna kill everyone here. I'm gonna kill Carl, and then I'm gonna kill you, and then I'm gonna go to Alexandria, and I'm gonna kill everybody there too. And Michonne said, you don't have to do this. We understand. And Negan said, I think y'all understand, but I don't think he understands. Talking about Rick. Mm-hmm. and Rick said, look, man, it could be me. Like trade places, cut my arm off. Which, this is the second time I thought this episode, you know, are we gonna get like the comic book? Cause Rick got his arm cut off in the comic book. Mm-hmm. And that shit happened early. Mm-hmm. But Robert Kirkman is on record as saying he wish he had never done that. To the character, and it's been 6 seasons, so I have no reason to believe that he secretly wants to cut Rick's arm off, and it's probably a bitch to film around. Mm-hmm. Where, you know what I mean? Like, it probably just
like drawing something and actually doing it live is two different things.
Yeah, it's probably like filming it is probably like, damn, we gotta do special effects on this nigga's arm for the rest of the time he's on camera. Uh-huh. And since we're not gonna kill him probably ever, like this shit is just money, you know. So I was like, maybe they, yay, look, Walking Dead make money. Mm-hmm. Maybe they are gonna give one of these motherfuckers you know, they gonna disarm them. So he raises so he basically tells him, damn, you gonna make me count? Like, cut his arm off, dog.
Now, this was one of the few times I was petrified, because I was like,
listen,
Carl already lost the eye. He gonna lose the eye and the arm. Shit.
Dog, this is why it's so great that they did all this in the same episode. Mm-hmm. I legitimately believed everything could happen this episode because of how they did it. Like, if I'm telling you, people think they know. They just don't fucking know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. If they would have done the death scenes at the end of last season, we would have had to pick up at them basically getting their shit and leaving.
Right.
Like, we would have had to pick up at Negan's already gone and everybody, like, the danger is over. You guys feel safer now. It's time to form a plan to how we going to deal with having Negan in our lives. But when you do it this way, nigga, this episode was only 1 hour and 9 minutes. It felt like 2 fucking hours because the whole time I'm sitting on pins and needles like, oh my God, they gonna kill somebody else. They gonna fuck somebody. Oh, they gonna cut their arms off. Because I'm thinking, I'm thinking, you got 2 deaths, but that don't mean they can't cut off somebody's arm.
That's true.
You know, it's like, don't worry, we got good doctors here. The boy'll be fine, probably. Rick didn't want to pick up the hatchet. And he said, now, not making the decision is a big decision. and so, Carl, as a true G. old triple OG, Carl says, "Dad, just do it."
Yeah, Carl.
This whole situation just made me think about some of the times I got in trouble with my brothers and my cousins,
mm-hmm.
and my mom was ready to whoop our ass, but nobody wanted to tell on who did it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You done did some shit you ain't had no business doing. All right, who did it? Only one of y'all to get in trouble with it. Don't nobody say nothing. I'm whooping all y'all ass.
I'm going
to
make you whoop him. You know what I mean?
That's pretty much what this was.
Bruh, and then what was so wild is that, like, I was talking to, it was either Tone or probably Ba on Twitter from Firestarter, you know, because they recap Walking Dead over there, too. Mm-hmm. And, matter of fact, shout out, that's where the hashtag, they, you know, dad, them, all that shit kind of comes from them. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, man, at that point, like, is it really even tough to be like, let me give up my arm, you know, because like this world is so fucked up, and if not, they gonna kill everybody. And I was like, you goddamn right it's tough. I've been looking at my daddy like, nah, don't do it. Let me keep my arm. Fuck these niggas. Let them die. I don't care about nobody. Tell her she pregnant. Like, I'm like, Carl a fucking G, man. I mean, he wasn't even crying. He wasn't screaming.
Nah, Carl was like, look,
when he got up and Negan asked him, like, you a southpaw and shit, Carl was like, fuck is that? Like, he had the look on his face, like, nigga, the fuck is that? What are you talking about? Like,
mm-hmm.
Carl was ready to go even then.
I see in the comic, we get the relationship between Carl and Negan, which is so beautiful. Cause Negan has almost like a respect for Carl. Cause he's like, you little fucking psychopath. Like, he was calling him all kinds of nicknames for having one eye.
Yeah, he called him a future serial killer just cause the way he was looking at him. And that makes sense because the thing about Carl looking like, look, I cut my mama open for my sister to be born. I done lost a goddamn eye. Like, there's about nothing you can do to affect me.
Yeah. So,
aged in dog years, man. Carl old as shit now.
It's amazing how they're able to do that with the actor too, because, like, you know, but I guess the way they film it, it's only been a couple years of his epoch, but it's been 6 or 7 years of these people's lives, so he is older than he was. At any rate, he basically makes Rick cut off Carl's arm, but right before Rick gets ready to come down with the hatchet, Rick can't do it. Like, he literally, like, starts crying. The music was building up and shit, but, like, he finally was broke. Like, that was the moment where he was just like, okay, I can't do this. You got me to my breaking point. He's begging for his kid's arm. Like, please don't make me do this and all this shit. And then Negan sees that he's broke and he's like, okay, cool. You broke. He's like, you answer to me, you provide for me, you belong to me, right? And Rick's repeating him. He's like, repeat it. He's like, I answer you, I provide for you, I belong to you. And he's like, right? He's like, right. And then he was like, he took the hatchet from Rick again. This shit was changing hands so much. And this is my favorite part, is he then acted like it was just a fucking team building exercise that you would do at a corporate job.
They was looking like, motherfucker, we didn't sign up for this.
Yeah,
nobody told us about this fucking meeting.
He was like, ha, woo, we did it, all of us together.
Why even they crying,
even the dead guys on the ground, they get the spirit of war for sure. Today was a productive damn day. Now I hope for all your sake you get it now that you understood how things work. Things have changed. Whatever you had going for you, that is over. All right, Dwight, let's load them up. And he takes Daryl, basically. When he says load him up, he's talking about Daryl. Put him in the back of the van. Daryl's pointing, Dwight's pointing Daryl's crossbow at him the whole time. And Daryl almost looked like he wanted to jump out of the van, but he knew not to. And, Negan goes, he's got guts. Not a little bitch like someone I know. To Rick. And he was like, I like him. He's mine now. You still want to try something? Not today, not tomorrow, not today, not tomorrow. I will cut pieces off of, hell, what's his name? And Simon said,
what's his name?
Simon says, Daryl. He says, Daryl, wow, that actually sounds right. I will cut pieces off of Daryl and put them on your doorstep, or better yet, I'll bring them to you and have you do it for me. Welcome to a brand new beginning, you sorry shits. And I'm sorry, anybody that thinks this shit was not as brutal as the way it read can suck my dick. This shit had me, I was nervous as fuck for these motherfuckers. Like, the Red Wedding was one of those things where it was just like, oh, y'all all about to die. Like, it wasn't
right.
Like, it was no it was no, like, I never thought there was a point where it's like, oh, but so-and-so might get out. Like, it was just like, oh, these niggas dead. They, as soon as they closed them doors, anybody that wasn't outside is fucking dead.
Yeah, as soon as the violin music stopped playing.
This shit was musical chairs of death, where it's just like, and maybe I feel like killing your ones too. I don't know.
Everybody could have got it this episode. You did not know who was walking out of this episode. You just didn't.
Right, because that was the other thing. The way they filmed it, when they brought them back together, there was another opportunity where he could have been like, and you know what? Three motherfuckers dying. Like, it was just go ahead.
There was a point in here where I thought that Rick might, there was like a dream sequence where like everybody fucking got it. Like, I was like, wait a minute, hold up.
Yeah.
Did Sasha get it? Like, did someone, like, I really thought that more than Abraham and Glenn may have been killed, because it was a certain point in the show where they were flashing back. And I thought that Rick was having a dream. Like, he was dreaming and everybody had gotten it. And I was like, wait a minute, did we see what we thought we just saw?
Right. So so then he basically says, look, dog, we about to be out with your boy. We're gonna leave you a truck and think of it as something you can use to cart all the stuff. You're gonna get find me. And then there's a montage of everyone leaving and the survivors just sitting there. Maggie, after everybody leaves and they're sitting there on the ground still, Maggie finally gets up first, starts walking away. She's still obviously suffering from the complications, whatever, with the baby, whatever's going on in there. And she tell, and Rick is like, hold on, Maggie, you can't just go walking off. And she was like, you need to go back to Alexandria and get ready. And he was like, ready for what? And she was like, to fight him. And Rick was like, I can't let you go to Hilltop by yourself. But that was her thing. She was like, I want to go by myself because it's my fault y'all was even out here, because of this baby. Which I really was like, I don't think she should feel that way, because the way this trap was set up, they was catching them when they left eventually.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they was gonna wait for them. They was like, if y'all gonna leave anytime, they could have left the next day or just out on a run. Like, they was gonna catch anybody that was floating around.
The Savior's plan clearly seemed to be to capture somebody, and in this case it was gonna be Daryl, Rosita, and whoever they had. Mm-hmm. You know, that crew. And then they were gonna be like, come get them. And then when they came out them gates, they was about to run into that trap. Like, it one way or the other, they was gonna meet they was gonna meet Lucille.
And not only that, if you see, once you see how many people they have, you know, you take into consideration like how closely they could have been watching Rick and the crew and everything. They probably knew that they had some sort of plan going on to get up with some other people, like the kingdom and stuff like that. Like, you never really know, because they had so many different people. Like, hold on, man. Like, they probably have been watching y'all so closely for so long that they already knew what you had planned before you thought you had it, you know, planned right out. So.
But yeah, I think the guilt was weighing on her, and the grief of her husband essentially just dying was weighing on her.
Yeah, and I really think that punk ass mayor at the Hilltop told them, the one that Maggie, you know, had went in and talked about. I think he told them of the plan.
You think so? Now, why do you think that? I mean, I know that's what happened in the book, but sometimes they do shit different.
Oh yeah, just because that character, and he was just shady, and
But how would they know that?
Gregory,
how would they know they were gonna load up like that and head to the Hilltop? Like, it would have to be another component to this plan, in order for them to enact all this shit. You know what I mean?
The reason why is because they made that agreement with them. But, you know, they took, like, their stuff and their food and things like that. And, you know, I think that after they left, I think Negan may have came back. And he was like, y'all kind of low. Mm. He was like, yeah, because, you know, they took our shit. And them the people that killed your people.
Okay.
You know, I could see him folding like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong or anything. But I just personally don't. I don't see whatever it is that would make me think that that's what happened. I'm not saying it's not what happened, because obviously it happened in the book, so maybe they'll just do what happened in the book. But honestly, they didn't really have any clues yet to how they got set up, in my opinion.
That's true. I think it will come out. I don't know if it's like a spy or, you know, it had to be somebody other than they just been watching him all this time.
Yeah, well, I think Rick and them killed a bunch of people. So they've been looking for their ass. True. Like, this ain't like the book. Like, the book, matter of fact, let me start the next session and invite everybody over, because we just went over to Mark. Hold on one second. And then we'll get right back to this, guys. Sorry.
Okay.
Let's see here.
We didn't even do nothing.
You think you tough?
You look so tough now, little nigga. Hate you black bastards. You stink. I hate your black skin. I hate your black pants. I hate black pepper. I hate black keys on the piano. I hate my gums, cause they black. I hate Whoopi Goldberg's lips. I hate the back of Forrest Whitaker's neck. And most of all, I hate that black ass Wesley Snipes. Move it!
So, I don't know for, like, I don't have, from the show, I don't see the clues that line up to know it was from Hilltop.
Oh yeah. I know there wouldn't know, you know, no clues, but I was just thinking just his demeanor, and he didn't look trustworthy. I was like, if he didn't do it, somebody told them from Hilltop informed them.
Yeah, I'm not, like I said, from the comic, I felt like the threads were easier because of how they kind of set things up, and even then it was a huge betrayal. But yeah, from the way that the book, I mean, that the show has gone, I don't feel the same way, because Rick and them were asking for this. They were complicit in their own demise, because
that's true.
They attacked. Yeah, you know?
So as far as Negan's concerned, he's like, hey, y'all killed people unprovoked.
They killed his men. They killed them while they were sleeping. They burned down the crop of marijuana or whatever they were. Right.
Y'all incinerated people in that thing that Maggie and Carol locked them dudes up. Y'all burnt my man, y'all killed my man several times. So the father was like, we're under attack, or we're gonna find out who attacked us.
They had several run-ins. They were warned before. People were telling them this is the way it had to be. You know, the rocket launcher death, the women that kidnapped Maggie and Carol. Like, this was a day of reckoning. This was a humbling. And for people to have sat back and just second guessed every decision and thought how terrible these characters are and how stupid they are, shouldn't this be the humbling you guys were all expecting and wanting? Like, from the way that people were saying, this is the result of so many bad decisions. They didn't do recon on any of Negan's shit, really.
Didn't research. They assumed.
Yeah, Hilltop might. And then the reason I say Hilltop might not have betrayed them, Hilltop might not know.
That's true.
About Negan's true, like, base of operations. Keep in mind, Hilltop sent them to the satellite radar station, whatever that was, because that's where their people were being held. And their people were being held there. So we don't know that Hilltop had an idea of how big Negan and them were. Now, maybe if they get to Hilltop and Hilltop's been ransacked or something, they'll have that moment where they're like, oh, wait a minute, Negan went here first and got the information on us, and that's why they were able to outthink us and outmaneuver us. But I don't think the show has given us any reason as of yet to think they were betrayed, as much as this shit was just it was coming. They were fucking with a bigger group that had no goddamn idea what they were doing.
True.
So, I mean, and for the record, this isn't me saying you wrong. Just, I need the show to show me why the fuck I should have thought that, you know what I mean? Like, cause the dude was quote unquote shady.
Right.
But at the same time, it was like they did do all that shit, get their people back and all that. So this would still be like a huge fucking betrayal. They had to kill that nigga they got to kill him. And Maggie coming up there too?
She'll fuck him up.
All right.
Baby and all.
So Maggie basically was like, look, I want to walk up here by myself. Sasha says, well, I will go with her. I want to go to Hilltop by myself. You guys go back and regroup. And she was like, she wanted to take Glenn's body. They loaded up, and Rick said, no, we're going to take his body because he's family to all of us. And Abraham's body too. And Sasha said to Rosita, like, I'm gonna take his body. And which was good, because normally women of color be arguing with each other at the funeral, you know. Yeah. A lot of times it'd be like, what about my secret family and shit, take me with him, Lord, whatever, you know. And we didn't get that moment between two women of color.
We in the green, girl, he did, girl, yeah, he did, you know, let's go ahead and bury him together.
Mm-hmm.
Priceless, man.
Say that again.
Abraham didn't work at Chrysler. You know, Chrysler got the plant wife and he got his real wife, bro. He didn't work at the Chrysler plant.
neither one of them got the pension.
And nobody got a man. Nobody got a man. So yeah, they, I guess, you know, that's what they get for dating thugs. Oh, my bad. Hold up, y'all. You know what? I didn't realize my lotion was almost out.
Is that your butter?
Oh yeah, there we go. Sorry about that, y'all. I was a little ashy. I just had a moment where I just was hating on women for no reason. I don't know why. Whoo, now I don't want to see Birth of a Nation no more. That was weird. Anyway.
transitive properties of moisture, goddammit.
Yeah. Oh, man. Thank you, Gold Bond Ultimate.
A little bit of lotion go a long way in your life.
Long way. So yeah, they flash back to Negan's words, and this is another great part of the episode where Negan said, "You thought y'all gonna get old together sitting at the table eating Sunday dinner." And in Rick's mind, he does see everyone, and not just everyone. He sees Glenn and Maggie, and they're holding a little baby.
Oh, that baby was precious, little Asian baby.
Right, like, go ahead. What'd you say, man?
I said Sasha was pregnant in that whole flashback. Right, you see her sitting. Ape, she was knocked up,
right? Like, you know, the Bisquick was poured, you know what I'm saying? And I guess she was Aunt Jemima, if you think of it that way, guys. That's right, racism.
Lord,
I'm just saying, that's why you gotta be careful which kind of white dudes you date, you know. They don't seem that woke. At any rate, he would have made that joke. He was gonna make that joke. I'm gonna pour the Bisquick, you gonna be my Aunt Jemima. What? I'm just saying, Aunt Jemima is a beloved figure. At any rate, man, they end up he has this flashback, or not flash forward, I guess, to a future that will never happen. And
that was a cool shot though, because it basically spanned out. You see, like, all the characters together, even the characters that are at different locations. So Morgan was there and Carol was there, right? Yeah.
Rick picks up the axe, walks into the RV, and a walker sees him. Rick drives out, sees a walker in the rear view, and the last image is of Rick's eyes, and he does look shook. Like, the eyes at the beginning of this shit and the eyes at the end, completely different. Alright, so, and I was thinking, like, did they leave Maggie out there by herself? Because the way they filmed the last scene, she's standing by herself and everybody's going to the RV. But someone said that he left them a truck. Like, when he said he left them a truck, he wasn't talking about the RV. He was talking about another vehicle.
Right.
So I'm assuming
that's where they put the bodies.
You think they put the bodies in that truck?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm assuming that next week will be them driving the Hilltop or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see what happened there.
Yeah, and who knows if they can trust Hilltop, you know. Although we still got Jesus around, and they showed Jesus in the preview, so I love that character. I guess my main thoughts coming out of this episode, my main question is, how would a whiny ass never been tested Alexandrians handle this?
Oh, they'd have broke.
Because I'm saying, how will they handle this? How will they handle the outcome? Like, when Rick shows up with two headless corpses and they got their tails handed to them, what are they going to say? Because I'm feeling like we're going to get a lot of, just do what they say, Rick.
Oh, surrender is going to be the order of the day when he gets back to Alexandria.
You know, a lot of, why, we knew you would do this and drag us down with you and you a terrible leader. I think we're going to get a lot of that.
Of course.
I think I'm looking forward to seeing the kingdom with Morgan and Carol and introducing those characters, Shiva and Ezekiel and all those people.
Mm-hmm.
Really interested in Hilltop. What happens when they get there? How does that work out? Can a doctor save or help Maggie's baby? She gonna have to get a C-section?
Right.
Who knows? You know, I want to see what's up with that.
Will she lose the baby?
Right. What's up with Daryl? He's kidnapped now. He's going back to the Savior's base. Maybe we'll get to see what the Savior's actual base looks like.
Right.
And how things work there. Although it's quite interesting that they use Daryl, because in the comic, Carl goes there.
Yes, he does.
So it's going to be a big ass difference, because he's a grown ass man. And what are they using Daryl for? Are they recruiting him? Are they just going to tie his ass up as a hostage?
I think they're going to break him.
You think they're going to try to break him?
I think they're going to try to use Daryl to learn some of the things that Daryl knows about tracking.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, because he has history with a few of them. He did kill their men. I mean, he was the one with the rocket launcher. I mean, it's just going to be interesting, you know. And can Daryl, like, try to finagle his way into that area and try to see if there's any, like, weaknesses?
I think so. I could see... Because of the history of abuse that Daryl has had in the past with his brother, he's really easy influenced as far as, like, being in group settings. He's an alpha male, but not the alpha male of a group, if that makes sense. Like, he's like a B person, you know, he'll take commands and things like that, but he will follow the group. So it's going to be interesting to see if he just adapts in the group, which I think he's going to adapt in the group. I think he's going to learn how they function. I think he's going to be and I'm just guessing, I think, because, you know, Daryl isn't even in the comics book, so I think he's going to be a piece that helps Rick and them break it down, or he could be a part of the group and Lily turn, because he's going to be like, yeah, we didn't have no business fucking with them, no way, we didn't have no business going over there, we killed them. Like, I don't know what direction that's going to go in.
All right, I think Daryl's moral core is stronger than that. I don't think he would join them. And if he,
Daryl's going to wonder, like, what the, like the, like the rest of the guys, right? Because, you know, you got Negan, but then you got this army of dudes around, like, this one guy, and he's going to try to figure out, what is it about this guy to make all of y'all just fall in line, right? Yeah. Because at the end of the day, Negan's strength is in his numbers and all the people that he has behind him. So I think Daryl is going to try to figure out, what is it about this dude or how he operates that got all of you, like, just in line, just falling in line behind him, to where you go out here and you do this fucked up shit on his behalf, and you just bring all of these things to him. So that's what I think Daryl may end up doing. I'm not sure, but I think that's, you know, like, the way that Daryl kind of maneuvers around and scouts and tracks and things like that, I think Daryl's going to try to figure that out some sort of way.
Well, also as a show, just as a show plot device, we need to know what the fuck goes on over there. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we need to see at least something from Daryl's perspective of, like, how the inside of the Savior's sanctuary will,
I think
how it operates, you know. Like, I can't imagine him joining up with them, because he's had too many opportunities to have been corrupted, and he just doesn't. He has too much of a moral backbone. He always just gets to a point where he's like, man, fuck this shit, I'd rather die than do some bullshit. Like, he won't betray himself,
right? Or I think he'll do it, like you say, I think he will join, quote unquote join, just to learn everything he can.
Yeah,
his
possibly
dedication is, and his loyalty is not,
but that's him. Also assuming Negan at some point changes his role from hostage, because
true,
keep in mind, all this is under the auspices of, I will cut pieces off of him if y'all don't do what the fuck I say. And we know they take hostages. So I don't know that they're bringing him on some, like, hey, dog, here's a gun, you trying to be down? Like, they might just be like, nigga, here's a dark room, tie his ass up, and you killed my man, we're going to torture you, fuck you, you know? Like, who knows? At any rate, I, you know, it's one of the questions that I have this season, is what's up with Daryl? And how would Daryl live with the guilt that he got Glenn killed?
Right.
Because that's on him. You know, like, he couldn't help himself. He had to punch a motherfucker.
Abraham
now,
was one thing.
Right.
But Glenn was him bucking up.
Right. All right. We got some listener emails. Let's get into that real quick. Where are my listener emails? And you know what? The email section is brought to you by Loot Crate. That's right, guys. Loot Crate, of course, is a monthly mystery crate filled with all kinds of different items, you know, different nerdy stuff. Now, you guys missed the October deadline, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to start thinking about November right now, because y'all, you fucked up, you know?
Yeah, you did.
But let me open up what I got.
And the theme was horror, right?
It was horror, Karen.
It was horror for this month.
Mm-hmm. Let me see what we got, because I don't even know what's in here yet.
Mm-mm.
All right. We got the Texas Chainsaw Massacre doll.
Aww.
Right? It was a little plush toy doll. Now, I don't know what kind of kid I can give this to. A messed up one, I'm assuming. Let's see what we got here. We got Camp Crystal Lake flag here.
Okay, old Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, what is this? Oh, you got Freddy chopsticks. Freddy's glove, but they're chopstick form.
Oh, his things that stick out the side.
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, I wonder if I can, like, bring this in the restaurant with me, because I want to eat with these now.
No.
I'm going to go to Sushi 101 and pull out my own Freddy glove.
They don't put us at that place.
Yeah, let me see if I can show you guys through the plastic. That's what they look like. So yeah, and that's the one glove, man. Oh shit, that's dope, man. All right, let's see what else we got here. The Regrettable Supervillains book features the 50 strangest supervillains in the history of comics. I had one of these for the most regrettable heroes that I got too, from a different loot crate.
Say that again, Mrs. Van.
I said, was Blank Man in that?
He was not, because he's not from comic books, I don't believe. But he was one of my favorite though, dog. Can't fuck with Blank Man. And of course, just in time for The Walking Dead. And that's Karen's. Negan Sluggers.
I was about to say, I don't think you can fit that one, baby.
It's official ABC AMC merchandise is Jeffrey D. Morgan holding up the bat.
That, you know what? That's a sexy man.
All right. Well, you put that sexy man on your chest.
I sure will.
everybody was like, he's too hot to be Negan. I'm like, oh, y'all want him to hit you with that bat, don't you? But yeah, man, this could be you. lootcrate.com/TBGWT, enter code TBGWT, you get $3 off of any new subscription, and we'll see what next month is. Okay, I have a feeling that it's gonna be magical. I'm just saying.
Oh shit, now getting ready for
that Strange.
Yeah,
shout out also another not to beat the dead Glenn, but shout out to Firestarter, because I in my mind I've already made up that they're gonna be talking about that bat. like I haven't even heard the episode, but in my mind I just heard them, I just could feel them being like, he was looking at that bat.
Stand at it hard.
Oh my god, man, I can't wait to see what they how they recap this, because I know Tone been waiting for Glenn to die so long. He in the Glenn fan club, though, so I can't wait to hear him party. All right, emails. We got two emails. Walking Dead 7 season premiere. This is from Yara, who says, hey, Rod and Karen. I'm a long time listener. I've been anxiously awaiting The Walking Dead to begin again, just so I can finally write in and introduce myself. I first heard you through Nina's podcast on Project Fandom last season, and you guys are so funny that I just have to check you out. I just had to check you out, and I am so glad I did. Since then, I've listened to all your shows, not just the Walking Dead recaps, and I've loved every single one of them. I'll try to keep this brief because I'm planning to write a review in the future on iTunes for your show soon. Yay! I see you, Karen.
Thank you.
She put, I see you, Karen. But I just wanted to write in to say that while I really wasn't a fan of the cliffhanger last season, I've since then had time to cool off and live my life.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
So I wasn't upset anymore, unlike some people I know coming into season 7. I really enjoyed Sunday's episode. I thought everyone did great in it, and Andrew Lincoln definitely needs to get all the awards for his continued work on that show. He's amazing. Listen, he busted snot.
Yeah, he did.
Snot shot.
Snot acting like that. I mean, shout out to my girl Letty Mae Daniels, but that might be above and beyond. Snot acting is a level that I don't know if I can act.
People can do.
Who can act like that? Like if I told you to bust snot right now on command, no, there's nobody that can just do that shit. Dude. But he was able to act it. Oh my god, what a powerful performance.
Man, look.
I'm not gonna go into detail about what I like because it'd probably be the same as a lot of others that write in. Well, you chose the right show to write in because everybody kind of snuck up on them, so we didn't get 20 million emails like we do for for most episodes.
Right.
I'm sure next week will be a completely different. It's gonna be a lot of people listening.
We have to condense them and kind of read over stuff. But like, okay, we've already said this.
So a lot of people listening right now, like, oh, I meant to write in. Instead, I just wanted to get your thoughts on what people saying that the episode was too graphic and violent, as well as others that I've seen saying that it was racist to kill Glenn off.
What?
Listen, there's two things, I'll just say this, there's two things about this show that I refuse to get into. One is the people that wait for a person of color to die, then call the show racist.
Right.
Stop watching the show. People of color die on this show because they actually cast people of color. Like, unlike a lot of shows, you know, go watch Girls if you don't want to see anybody die of color, but
come on,
this show actually employs black people, and I know that the running jokes are like that one black person, but it's bullshit. This show actually employs multiple people of color many different times. Like, it's not just one black person per week and then they kill that black person, then another black person shows up. So I refuse to get into that. And the people that want to write about the tropes and stuff they don't like about it, that's fine, but I don't have to give that shit any time of day, because I think a lot of people are reaching and they're trying to have a woke off, and they're doing like appropriation Tumblr like woke challenges to try to find a way every week to say this show ain't shit.
Who more woke?
This motherfucker Stephen Young worked from season one, episode one, till now. That run is long as fuck, dog.
Mm-hmm. So it's 6 years?
Yeah, that's a long ass run. Yes, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Some people don't keep their regular jobs that long.
Right. I don't know who they could have killed that would have made people be okay with it. But if we're at the point now where only white people can die on the show, then I also don't want to watch that show.
Yep.
Because there's no fucking suspense in that. Like, well, they got to kill a inconsequential white person or everybody's going to get mad. It feel like that's how it is every week with certain parts of Twitter and social media. I don't really get into that shit. And I don't think it's racist to kill people of color off on the show unless you literally have no people of color on your show. Like, you know what I mean? And then lastly, as far as the too graphic and too violent, we have watched 7 seasons of the most graphic violence. I don't understand how last night was too much.
We seen a girl kill her sister, little sister.
I've seen a motherfucker pull guts out and rub themselves in it and make ghillie suits out of them.
They ripped Noah apart. They ripped him apart, literally. Noah was not too graphic and too violent. This is the same thing as with Game of Thrones, when people got outraged about the rape of Sansa, which was one of the least graphic ones.
Right.
But it was really about your attachment to that character, because in many other cases, they didn't care. But it was that character's less graphic, detailed sexual assault that made people quit, which to me means the show is working. You have an attachment to that character. Now, that being said, I don't mind when people quit the show. Please leave. Don't write us. Don't tell us. I don't want to know about it. You are welcome to leave. If it ever something happens on the show that I don't like, I'm sure I would stop reviewing it if it went above and beyond to some point where I couldn't watch it anymore. But I haven't had that experience with this show, and I really think a lot of people get off on the attention they get by being like, I was the most affected by this show, and I was the most affected by this thing I didn't have to watch or consume.
Right. And it's all a choice.
And also this show gave us so many episodes of foreshadowing about this fucking bat.
Right.
From the comic book to the actual show being like, here are after pictures. You knew someone was getting the bat. You spent a whole summer going, who getting this bat? You knew it was going to be graphic. What the fuck? Who? Like, I saw the I'm quitting the show shit and I just laughed. Like, whatever, dog. I really like Glenn, man. I hate they killed him. That's why they did it. I don't know what to tell you, dog.
Right.
Nobody's living forever in this shit. Yep. Unless you're literally the main character. That's like, I think everybody can get it. I think it'll be a time where they might kill Carl. Shit, they might kill Rick one day.
Right.
That's the point of the show. It's that brutal. So, anyway, that's how I feel. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. actress Ming-Na Wen even said she was boycotting the show. Yeah, she's been super woke on Twitter. And that's fine. If that's her perspective, that's fine. But I also know that she is the person that expected Oscar So White to do the work for Asian people. And I ain't forgot that shit either, man. Like, you cool and whatnot, but that moment where you on some like, y'all black people, y'all don't be looking out for us, man, you get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? Like you ain't tweet about this shit not once. You ain't say nothing about race not once. But then the night that comes that some shit finally happens to you, and it's not like it said Oscar's so black or Oscar's not black. It just said Oscar's so white, which means you could have contributed at any point to the awareness of this hashtag and this cause, and you chose not to until the moment they got inconvenient for you. And then you want to hop your ass out of nowhere and be like, why y'all don't do enough work for us? Not to mention that they have been especially Raina April, who started that trend, that whole hashtag, she has talked about diversity for other groups as well.
Right.
Like, so yeah, you cool, dog. Go get your retweets on and all that shit. I'm not boycotting. So, you know, I've watched enough black people die on this show that if I truly was like, I got a boycott because they killed somebody black, I just wouldn't be watching the show anymore.
Right.
And I honestly don't understand this point of view, as this has been coming for Glenn for a long time now. His death is something that has been teased since season 4. So why are people surprised or shocked now? I get that he was a fan favorite and the only Asian on the show, but I don't feel that it was racist to kill his character off. He, along with other characters on the show, are living on borrowed time. I will be interested to see if they add a new Asian person to the show, because mm-hmm. I know in the comics they add people too, like, you know, it's like, oh, this person died, but it's like, oh, but it's still other people on the cast and stuff.
Yeah, still so, out in the world.
Yeah, I think the pressure of killing off the only Asian person is going to be different than the pressure of killing black people at this point, because mm-hmm. there's so many black people on the show.
Right.
Back when it was T-Dog, then it was more like, I wanted him to die. I'm not like y'all, but
yeah, T-Dog went from no lines to all the lines.
Yeah, I didn't like T-Dog. But for people that were like, all I care about is the body count of how many black people are on the show. They, you know, I'm sure they were like, I don't want T-Dog to die. I personally gave zero fucks. I don't watch TV that way, but, I think maybe then, you know what I'm saying, if they would have killed off T-Dog before another black person was introduced, maybe then you would have people being upset. But they killed off that black woman in season 1. I don't remember mm-hmm. all this outrage. So
right.
I don't know what to tell y'all, dog. So yeah, she says, he, along with other characters on the show, live on borrowed time. They can't only kill all the secondary characters, expect the audience to care or be as invested. Stephen Young and Michael Cutlitz, knew for a year and a half they were dying. If anything, people should be upset at the fact that Kirkman and Gimble decided 2 years prior that they were going to kill Glenn off and still went with that fake out dumpster death in season 6. Well, I do understand people being upset about that. That was some straight ass bullshit. Anyways, that's it for me. Can't wait to listen to the podcast. Kill the great work, Cecilia Yara. Thanks, Yara.
Thank you.
I've been waiting for Glenn to die ever since then.
Mm-hmm.
That was it for me. I was like, yo, he got to go. Like, I don't care when, I don't care how. His ass got to go after that.
I was done with him when he traded that motherfucking suit to Eugene and wanted to walk through that tunnel. I was like, man, fuck this dude. Like, you know that shit more dangerous. It's gonna be fucking Zombie Central up in that piece. Also, you can get to your girl who walked off on your ass, dog. Come on. Lastly, our girl EVE writes, hi Rod, Karen, and Mr. Span.
What up, though?
I've been on pins and needles all summer waiting for the return, only to be brokenhearted. I was devastated by the loss of Abraham and Glenn. That being said, Glenn being the one to go was probably the right decision, because had the writers not taken out an original character, it would have been a major cop-out, especially after that cliffhanger. Yeah, see, that was the other thing, too. If they would have killed, say, Abraham and...
like Eugene or Abraham and...
Sasha, Abraham and
the other girl...
Rosita.
Right. It wouldn't have meant as much. I do agree with that.
Yeah, they killed a dude that's been on the show since season 1, episode 1. So it mattered. Even though I suspected it would be Glenn, I cried, hollered, and carried on like a damn fool. I don't know. I don't know what that life is like. My husband had to hold me down. He doesn't even watch the show. I think Negan is what Rick was on his way to becoming, and Rick needed to be humbled. Yeah, the group definitely needed to be humbled. They started killing motherfuckers and they sleep, dog. That was a new level. Everybody tried to act like... everybody ignored that shit when I brought it up. Like, I kept bringing it up.
No, they were sleeping. They were in the bed sleeping. Right.
I'm like, can't we admit that this is a new level of shit that they doing? Like, they ain't never killed niggas while they were sleeping before. Mm-mm. It was like, they just had to do it. I'm like, okay. All right, when they catch this ass whooping, remember this. Negan sunned the hell out of Rick. I think the real G this episode was A, with his last line, suck my nuts, and Carl. He was so prepared to lose his arm. I think he would have cut his own arm off to save his cry, I don't care what anybody says about Carl. He has shown tremendous growth, and I think he'll one day be the type of leader Rick never was. Yeah, what I like about this is, all the people that ever talk shit about Carl going out the house unsupervised. They had that moment where I saw them all begin panicking for his arm. Cause I was panicking too.
Yes, I I was.
But I tweeted out like, y'all said y'all ain't want him out the house. Ain't this what y'all want? Why y'all trying? Like, I was just trolling people. Like, I was scared. I was scared too, but I was talking the most. Like, I thought y'all wanted them to die. Oh, now y'all want them to live. Make up your mind.
Carl is going to be like John Connor in the future, goddammit. Carl going to be the leader of the resistance forever.
For real. Like, yeah. I don't know why, but Negan doesn't bother me half as much as Dwight. What the fuck is his problem? Daryl basically helped him, and then he acts like Daryl's the reason his face got burnt. Spitting on Daryl was just so damn disrespectful. Hope he gets the other half of his face burnt, jerk. Yeah, he's trash. Dwight is trash, dog. He's like the Billy Bush of the crew. You know, like, he didn't come up with the idea, but he damn sure keep egging it on. I'm looking forward to seeing how Rick and Michonne's family dynamic works this season. It's clear that Michonne is claiming Carl and Judith as her own. Yeah, when she spoke up for Carl and said, you don't have to do this, I was like, ooh, I see you, girl. See, that's why you need a strong black woman behind you. A black queen. Cause I wouldn't have said shit. I'm like, that ain't my son. Let that nigga's arm go. I would have been sitting up there like, cut his arm off, Rick. Damn, what's taking so long? Do it. You move. I'll do it. She was up there trying to save that little baby arm, man. Right. That's a good
she
woman.
Was pleading.
Boy, that's a good woman, because your boy would have been already halfway packed up into the RV.
Oh, Lord.
I would have had the RV started. Come on now. Let's go. Damn. Study wrong, study long. Cut his arm off. Let's go. Anyway, the way she spoke up to protect her baby, my heart was breaking. Another great but heartbreaking show. EVE. Thanks, EVE. And it looks to be all the feedback from this one. So we appreciate y'all. Mr. Span. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, Mr. Span.
Hey, man, it ain't no thing. I came to you. I was like, yo, man, this shit was delicious. I got to be on this week. Come on, bro. Please, true. Man, please. Let me talk about this shit.
I was happy to have another person that could delight in the evil of, man, listen, of this show.
I have been dancing on the graves of all the people who were like cool with that dumpster shit. Like, everybody that was cool with that dumpster shit, I'm like, yeah, fuck y'all. I'm partying today, this week, until next Sunday. Fuck this shit. Glenn gone, Glenn Pock, Glenn Avelli, all that shit. It's a rap on his ass, son.
Yes.
Avelli.
Oh, it was so good to see him die finally, man. I'm sorry. Man.
And it was just like the comic book, man. The eye part where his eye popped out and everything.
Yes.
Just like the comic book.
I will find you. Yes. No, you won't. You dead. You ain't gonna find nothing but your brains on the pavement, son.
You ain't gonna see nothing.
You still in there?
Right. Oh, man. I should not have enjoyed that death so much, but I did.
I'm so excited for the
goddamn monster, man. My wife looked at me like, man, something wrong with you.
I'm telling you, man. This was all worth it, dog. From the time I cackled when they motherfucking ended that shit without telling us who they killed to now. Nobody can say that they fucked up, because we went a whole summer and nobody knew shit. All y'all can shut the fuck up. All y'all can shut the fuck up. Y'all was trying to talk about it's not as good as when Jon Snow got killed. We knew Jon Snow was coming back. Nigga wouldn't even cut his hair off. We knew that was coming back. I didn't know anybody that didn't have a theory that didn't involve him coming back. This shit, nobody knew who was dying. Now we get to see the aftermath. Thank you. Mwah. Thank you, Scott Gimple. We appreciate you. Thank you, Robert Kirkman. And thank you, Chris Hardwick, for always having the shows back, dog. I fuck with you, homeboy. You always welcome to the cookout, as long as you don't say nothing about race.
And the thing about The Walking Dead, I think before the season finale, they were like, oh, y'all mad? We got renewed for season 7.
Right. Nobody knew who it was, dog. I remember looking for that shit, trying to find it. Nobody was like, it's Abe and Glenn. People were speculating that it was Steven Yeun. I remember but that's also from the comic. Like, y'all, like, is it speculation if you just saying, I read the comic and that's who died? Like, it was so good. And it was the only way to fake people out, because people have been, like, preparing for Glenn's death for so long. And it was the one way to be like, maybe they not gonna kill him. Psych, we is gonna kill him. So
gotcha,
yeah,
man.
It's good. I see people in here in the chat room live. We knew for months. Show me the proof, dog. Show me the proof that it was Abe and Glenn, dog. I see y'all talking, but I don't see no proof, though. So, because niggas was hitting me with they spoiler ideas. Like, I don't know about y'all's internet experience. Motherfuckers was emailing me and writing me and tweeting me. It's going to be this. It's going to, a lot of y'all was wrong, dog. Just admit it. Just admit it, dog. Just come clean. You didn't know. You watched the whole episode. You wanted to know. At any rate, we'll be back tomorrow with Nick and Reggie from What's the Tea at 7 o'clock or 7:30. So we'll talk to y'all then. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.